is Mike Quinsey connecting the light. My guest today is Carol Corey. She was on the programme quite a time ago now, in March 2011, and she specialises in topics such as health, nutrition, science and pets. And she is the author of a Healing Power series of books and articles. And today we're going to talk about her latest one in that series, The Healing Powers of Coffee. Oh, making my mouth water. Welcome to the program, Carol.
Hi, good afternoon, good evening.
Right, you've been busy since I last spoke with you. Is that your latest one, or have you indeed done others in between that period of time as well?
I fell into another publisher where I have two new books coming out, Animal Attraction and Soulmates. Pretty easy. I took 25 years of my best writings in major magazines and just wove them together. So one book's on animals, and the other one's on relationships. So I'm very excited. Those are coming out in August and early, I guess, late fall. So I guess I'm no longer just a health author. I'm kind of, you know, I'm a busy author. What can I tell you?
Right. Well, I expect you'd probably run out of health things to write about, because I know you covered the powers of chocolate, olive oil, vinegar. I mean, there isn't much left, is there?
Well, you know, there still is tea. And actually, when I pitched this book, I pitched the next one, number five, I pitched tea, The Healing Powers of Tea, because
Oh, really?
I did do a little book on that, and I am a devout tea drinker, and people in the UK are as well. And they thought that coffee would be better because, you know, coffee's known to get a bad rap. And so it's kind of, you know, it's controversial where everyone knows tea is healthy. Not everybody knows that coffee has, you know, some perks, some health perks, a lot of them.
Right. The thing that comes to my mind that I've read over the years, I remember when I started to read the Edgar Cayce series, and one thing he said about coffee always stuck in my mind, and he said, coffee was not just a food, it was not just a drink, it was a food as well. So that's my excuse for drinking coffee.
Yeah, and it's funny because the subhead title of this book, The Healing Powers of Coffee, is A Complete Guide to Nature's Surprising Superfood. And many books call it a superfood, which really just means a food that has a lot of health benefits, even though it's a beverage. People are calling it a food, and you actually can cook and bake with it.
Yes, that's right. Now, you're telling us that coffee boasts more antioxidants than cocoa and tea, and it's even more renowned as an antioxidant, like oranges and blueberries, which I suppose more readily come to mind. So, start to tell us some of the benefits of coffee then.
Well, first, I want to just add on what you did say. I did interview quite a few people, a lot of experts from roasters to researchers, and I did interview Dr. Vinson, PhD. He's, I guess it's redundant, Dr. Vinson. He did a study, and he claims that coffee is the number one source of antioxidants in the United States. Diet, only because, you know, you can drink two cups of coffee and you're going to actually get more antioxidants than you would in even orange juice or blueberries, and I have the whole list there. So the health benefits, there's so many. There's health improvements as well as home cures. But the health benefits, drinking freshly ground coffee, that is much better from whole beans than getting the instant stuff, you know, in the little jar at the grocery store. And I have changed. I do have a grinder now, and I grind my own beans, and it's so much better, the taste, the aroma, and health benefits. But a lot of studies, and I include them in the book, show that it can help coffee, in moderation, can help lower the risk of heart disease, cancer, some cancers, including breast, prostate, and skin, type 2 diabetes, even Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. And again, I cite lots of these studies where they actually show that it's helpful. But again, I want to emphasize that it's in moderation. I only drink 12 ounces of coffee a day. It's good to drink 2 to 3 cups if you can handle it a day. It depends on your body and what you can tolerate, because there is caffeine in coffee, and there are health benefits in both decaf and caffeinated coffee. But, you know, you don't want to go overboard and drink like 10 cups a day. So that's not what this book is about, in moderation, just like the chocolate book and the honey book. Are you still with me?
Oh, yes.
Are you still
Hello?
There?
Oh, yes, indeed, yes. I was taking in what you said there. When you talk of, in general terms, a cup of coffee, of course, that depends on the size of the cup and how strong you have it, presumably. Or is your guide, say, sticking to an average of 2 to 3, any sort of combination of those factors? I mean, does it make any real difference, in other words?
You mean the amount? When I give in the home care section, I tell you how much to drink, and sometimes I go with 8 ounces and sometimes 12 ounces. It's very important, though, that, you know, Starbucks, I don't know why I'm pinpointing them, but as an example, Starbucks, their coffee is fun because they put so many flavorings and whipped cream and, you know, spices on top and a lot of things that can really add fat and calories that aren't healthy for you. When you make it at home, such as I do, I get the best coffee for sure, and I just use organic milk. I don't use sugar. I don't use flavorings. I don't use whipped cream. Maybe during the holiday seasons with a flavored coffee I will as a special treat, but every morning, no. No flavorings, no add-ons, just straight coffee with organic milk for, you know, some calcium, 2%, sometimes 1%. And that is the healthiest way of doing it. And a lot of nutritionists, they know coffee can be unhealthy if you go for these drinks that you can buy that add all those things that I just mentioned.
Right. Now, you've touched upon a couple of points I wanted to raise with you. I mean, is there any vast difference from the point of view of the benefits between caffeinated and decaf?
Well, the studies use both. Caffeinated coffee is healthier overall, it seems like. In a few studies, decaf, it doesn't matter. There's a little bit less antioxidants in decaf, according to that Dr. Benson that I mentioned, but not significantly lower, but somewhat lower. Also, what I noticed, there's 4 different types of roast of coffee. There's light roast, such as Light City. I mean, it could be very confusing. So, if you go to the grocery store, if you go to a coffee shop, you know, you'll see light roast, medium dark roast, and dark roast.
Yeah.
And light roast are basically Light City, Half City, Cinnamon, New England. The light roast have the most caffeine. Medium roast and dark roast are the healthiest. According to all the research that I've done, they have the most antioxidants. Yeah, and medium roast are City, American, and Breakfast. Medium dark roast are Full City. These are kind of rich and dark in color with a slight bittersweet aftertaste. And then dark roast, they're like the New Orleans, European, Italian, and French roast. I like the dark roast and the medium dark. I really don't prefer the light roast or medium roast. I've become a snob. You know, when I started this book, I swear, I would use instant Folgers coffee, and that's it. I mean, it was no big deal. I didn't enjoy it. I just did it to wake up to the caffeine effects. But during the research of this book, over the course of about eight months, I was spoiled. I received copies from all around the world. I mean, from Guatemala, Brazil, Indonesia, Hawaii, very pricey. I tasted more than 30 to 40 flavored coffees. I was just in the coffee world. It was wonderful. So now I could never go back to just instant coffee that you get at the supermarket in a little jar unless there was an earthquake or a blackout. Then I would go for that.
Right. Now, in actual fact, does the process that coffee goes through to make it an instant coffee take out some of the goodness?
Yes, definitely, definitely. In the studies and the people I spoke with, they're all saying, you know, definitely you want the freshly ground coffee from whole beans. Not only does it taste better, it has more antioxidants. It's just like honey. You know, if you're lucky enough to get honey, raw honey from a local beekeeper, it has more antioxidants. Mm. If you get something that's been, you know, extremely processed and in a little jar, less antioxidants. It just makes sense.
Right. And is black coffee preferable from your point of view to adding milk?
No, like I said, I prefer milk. Just it gets in a nicer texture, I want to say. I used to drink black coffee. I can if I have to. But with the milk, you know, being a woman and even men who are, and you know, getting up there in the years, we're both prone to osteoporosis, you know, brittle bone disease. I just need that extra calcium boost, you know, which is good for the bones and the teeth. Mm. You need calcium, so why not put it into coffee? So that's how I prefer it. I would never put sugar in coffee at all. No flavorings, and there's so many flavorings out there. But again, I do love the flavored coffees, and it's one of my favorite chapters in the book. Let me tell you some of the flavored coffees. I know that women like flavored coffees more than men. How about you? Have you tasted flavored coffees?
No, I'm not familiar with that one. My favorite flavor, I like Colombian personally.
But, right, that's a serious. Yeah, that's awesome. And I did visit a roaster about 25 miles away from me, and his coffee, I mean, it came from Colombia. He goes out in the field, and it was just amazing, so smooth and flavorful. I mean, it was wonderful. But I was also treated to flavored coffees, the girly coffees, kind of like girly alcoholic drinks. Listen to some of these. A blueberry crumble, butterscotch toffee, chocolate hazelnut. The nut coffees, nutty coffees are very popular. Nutty coffees, minty coffees, fruity coffees, which I don't like too much, chocolate raspberry, cinnamon coffee, spicy coffees are awesome. Coconut cream was fun. Dark chocolate mint, I had that this morning from one of my favorite coffee companies. French caramel, fun. German chocolate cake. Maple pecan and pumpkin spice are really wonderful for the fall. Irish cream, nice if you want to add alcohol to it, which I don't, but in, you know, during the holiday season. Snickerly cookie, that was just amazing. I was begging her for more. Southern pecan. You know, you get a taste of these, and they're really great. They really are. I don't think they're more healthful, because what they do use sometimes natural and sometimes artificial flavoring on top of the coffee bean itself. So, you know, as far as health-wise, no, you're not getting, you know, the vitamin C from blackberries, probably very little, if any. But the taste is fun.
I haven't heard of many of those that you've mentioned, but I must say I do go to Starbucks more often than any other one, simply because they change their coffees periodically, and you get the benefit of being able to taste the different types.
Definitely, and I the first time I tried pumpkin spice coffee was through Starbucks, And, I mean, it had, I love pumpkin anyway, anything pumpkin, and it was wonderful. But then I do write a cooking column, and I made it myself. It's not difficult at all. And then when I was actually sent the pumpkin spice coffee, so you can get it in many different ways. But Starbucks, they, you know, they have baristas that really know what they're doing. So it's a nice treat, but it's pricey. And I do include the culture, the different cafe culture, you know, all around the world, and the UK coffee chains. It's funny you mentioned Starbucks. Coffee drinking in the UK is often found at chains like Starbucks and Coffee Republic, and it's the young professionals who gravitate to these places. But I talk about the different ways people drink coffee in Turkey, Australia, China, France, Malaysia, and Singapore. It's all different. You know, the Middle East coffee houses, for instance, they're gathering spots for men where they actually drink coffee and tea and listen to music and read books, and it's predominantly men, and they play chess and backgammon. So it's fascinating how coffee differs from country to country around the world.
It sounds almost as though coffee makes you feel relaxed. I mean, does it have any qualities like that?
It definitely does. I have a lot of, I call them eye-opening coffee tidbits throughout the book. And there's one fact, women say that drinking coffee is a good way to relax. I agree. I mean, the caffeine definitely gives me physical and mental energy, and that's proven that it can do that. But men show that coffee, they say that coffee helps them to get the job done. And I admit that I've used coffee for that, too, if I'm on deadline. It really boosts brain power. And also, you know, if you're going to go do something physical, like swim or walk the dogs, you know, once you get that cup of coffee, or shovel snow in the wintertime, once you get that cup of coffee, you're ready to go do it. It's very energizing.
That's interesting. I mean, have the trials of coffee actually produced any figures that, say, can prove the giving of energy? I mean, does it go that far with people looking at what it can and can't do?
Oh, you mean as far as studies, like hard-hitting studies?
Yes,
controlled
yes,
studies? Yes, I have a whole section on coffee, the new health food, and I just go right down the line, coffee and cancer and the different cancers, and I do discuss studies that are actually in real scientific journals, medical journals, that discuss, you know, there's, I mean, we're not talking like, you know, just rats, we're talking humans, and those are the studies you really want to, you know, take seriously. Like there's one study about liver cancer, and coffee can be helpful to help lower the incidence of developing liver cancer, and that actually included 240,000 people. And it, you know, it discusses why coffee can actually help lower your chances of developing liver cancer. But no, there's hard-hitting studies, definitely. For different situations. High blood pressure, you would think that if you have high blood pressure, now I'm not talking about off the charts, you know, if you need to talk to your doctor if you don't have your blood pressure under control. And these days it should be lower than 120 over 80. I tell you, I did it myself. I have a blood pressure kit because I'm type A. And I put the little blood pressure kit, you know, around my wrist, and I drank a cup of coffee, and I swear to God, 10 minutes later, it was 117 over 75. Now, did that relax me or what? So there you go. You know, it depends on the person. And like I said earlier, it can relax. Well, you know, women say they like it because it relaxes them. So it just depends on, you know, it's an individual basis for sure.
Yes.
But again, like I said, when it gives you the energy, and I expand on that, if it gives you the energy to go walk the dog, shovel snow, go out and swim, then that's going to help keep your blood pressure down too. So it's not just the coffee, it's what the coffee helps you do that keeps your blood pressure in check.
Do you think it might become an addiction, because when the effects wear off, you're not going to feel so good.
Without a doubt. If I don't have my coffee in the morning, I'm not getting up. The first thing I do, I get out of bed, feed the dogs, and brew a cup of coffee. I have to. So, yeah, it definitely is addicting, without a doubt. But, again, moderation is the key. At my age, we don't even want to go there. We're in boomer land, okay? Mm. But at my age, if I drink coffee, like, after 3 p.m., I'll be wide-eyed and bushy-tailed, until forever. It stays in my system. When I was younger, in my 30s, I could drink coffee, it didn't matter what time, and it would keep me up, but I could sleep. But if I drank a 12-ounce cup of coffee, let's say at 4 p.m., I would be up longer than I'd want to, But everybody's different. Everybody's different again.
Oh,
also,
yes.
It can help you keep lean. I have a whole chapter on that. It really can. It can be a mild diuretic, for sure, and it can suppress your appetite. And again, it can give you energy, so you'll go out and get physical, which is important. And if you do that, and also if you drink one of those flavored coffees that I mentioned, or mm-hmm. if you drink a cup of coffee that has some sort of sweetness to it, it'll curb your craving for unhealthy junk food, like a donut or a big piece of cake that just has tons of fat and sugar. And so with all that, keeping all that in mind, it can help you stay lean. And then when you go exercise, you're going to stay fit. And if you do that, again, that's tied into lowering the risk of developing heart disease, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, obesity. So you want to stay lean, and it definitely can help you do that. I'm still size 4, 118 pounds, 5'5", and I'm sure coffee helps me, without a doubt.
Mm. Right. I think we also have to say that you have... I'm sure this is correct. At no stage claim that coffee is a cure. It's simply on your account to decrease or reduce the risk of those conditions that you mentioned.
Correct. Yeah, if you have liver cancer, it's not going to cure it. If you have high blood pressure, it's not going to cure it. But if you do it the way I mentioned, in conjunction with, and I do discuss that, the Mediterranean diet, if you eat healthful foods, nutrient-dense foods, fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, eggs in moderation, nuts in moderation, olive oil is your primary fat, water, herbal tea, and you get a move on, along with coffee, and develop the healthy lifestyle, all of it is going to help stave off these diseases and add years to your life. So I believe coffee is part of the package. And it definitely, people in the Mediterranean, the traditional Mediterranean diet, have proven that. But once they go for the westernized diet, eating fast food, McDonald's, being sedentary, drinking coffee the way I mentioned not to, with lots of sugar and flavorings and whipped cream, then they're defeating the purpose. So, no, coffee is not going to cure liver cancer or cure heart disease if you already have it. But if you do everything as I mentioned, it can help lower the risk or help you bring those numbers down, if you have high cholesterol or high blood pressure.
Right. Because you realize, in view of what you've just said, half of my listeners have gone away because they drink caramel-flavored coffee.
Say that again.
I say half of my listeners have suddenly disappeared after what you said because they like caramel-flavored coffee.
Oh, the caramel-flavored coffee? So do I. I have, and you can get that at Starbucks and coffee shops, but you also can get caramel-flavored coffee where I don't think it's as high in fat. Like I said, they flavor the coffee beans in the roasting process, so it's probably less in calories and fat and healthier
right.
for you. Or you can just not use as much as caramel. I know it tastes great with all those goodies on it, But, you know, why go there? You want to stay healthy. You really can have your coffee and drink it, too, in a healthy way and enjoy it. And the better the coffee, the premium coffee from all around the world, and I give a comprehensive list where you can get this online if you don't have, you know, gourmet coffee shops around you. But once you taste some of the coffees that I mentioned that I've tasted, Starbucks won't be as addicting. You can do it yourself at home, and you'll save money, and it'll be a lot healthier.
Yes, indeed. Now, reducing the risk or the condition of, say, dementia, you've evidently found some evidence to prove that it helps, but does it help to any real degree, or is it a very slow process of help?
Going back on the health section for me, it's funny, when you write these books, it's like cramming for test in college, and then you forget half the information.
Yes.
You know?
they call that dementia, yes.
Especially when you're on to the next book. But I know I talk about that dementia. I know it's good for mental health, obviously.
Right.
And I mentioned the Parkinson's and Alzheimer's. You'll just have to look it up in the book, but I know that there have been tests, and I do cite them and cite experts saying that. Diabetes, I know. It is there. Trust me, it is there. You know, there is a whole section on home cures. These are little things at home, pesky ailments, you know, home remedies from your kitchen. But like anxiety, now you would think that coffee with its caffeine would make you, if you're anxious, it would make you even more anxious. But the way around that is to drink less than more, you know, like maybe 6 ounces. And they even have, I was sent by coffee companies, half decaf and half caffeinated. So you can go half decaf or decaf. I really don't like decaf myself, but a lot of people do. So you can just, you know, lower the amount you drink. And just, you know, holding a hot beverage is just calming itself and sipping something, especially if you add the milk, because milk has a different ingredients in it, compounds that are calming. So it definitely can calm your nerves if you're anxious, which may, again, may seem surprising, but it does work. I have done it. Attention deficit disorder. A lot of people have that, and it's been proven in studies that if you drink coffee, it can actually keep you, make you more focused. During graduate school, I noticed that, you know, you stay focused if you're writing or trying to comprehend something, and it's a lot healthier than taking, you know, prescription drugs for that. Brain drain, obviously, like I said, it does boost brain power. An 8-ounce or 12-ounce coffee, I say coffee latte. I say that it actually can be good for colds. If you take one aspirin and drink 1 8-ounce cup of coffee, medium roast coffee, again, hold flavoring, sugar, and cream, and add 1 teaspoon of raw honey. Now, a lot of people I talk to do sweeten their coffee with honey rather than sugar, which is healthier because raw honey does have antioxidants. And if you do have a cold and you repeat this remedy, you know, like 2 times a day, it can make you feel better. Really can. Also for coughs, they say that coffee can be good for that. I say that drink 1 cup of American medium roast once you begin coughing, and add 1 teaspoon of fresh lemon with 1 teaspoon of fresh raw honey again. That can soothe your throat. And it's also because coffee contains anti-inflammatory properties. It can help stave off chest aches from coughing. And lemon and honey will help coat your throat, as I said, and soothe that tickle in your throat. So there you go.
Right. So if you can add honey, does it matter which type of honey it is?
You want the raw honey again. You can get the kind that you buy at the grocery store, but again, raw honey does have more antioxidants in it, just like the chocolate, just like the coffee. It's all the same thing. You want to get it the least processed as possible. Also, depression. Coffee definitely, you know, if you're feeling depressed, I'm not talking about if you're heavily, heavily depressed, but, you know, if you're feeling kind of down and out, you know, gloom and doom, cabin fever, if it's really cold in the fall or winter, or even summer blues, drinking a cup of coffee two times a day and adding well, you can add a little bit of milk or dark chocolate melted to give it that flavor, and then add milk, definitely can boost your mood because of the chocolate, too, because that has some good compounds that boost those feel-good endorphins, the same thing you get when you exercise.
Right. Now, one might have thought that if you add honey...
Say that again.
If you add honey to a hot drink, it may in some way take away the goodness of the honey, but you're presumably would say that it doesn't make any difference.
Well, you know, in the honey book, I say you can bake and cook with honey, but of course you're losing some of the antioxidants during the process.
Yeah.
If you have your choice to drizzle raw honey from your local beekeeper right over fresh fruits, that's much healthier, obviously, than if you bake, you know, the honey. But we're talking about if you have raw honey and you just drizzle it in a cup of, you know, hot coffee. And you don't want to have it scalding hot. I think I read somewhere that if, you know, scalding hot coffee can do terrible things to your esophagus. So you don't want to do that. But, you know, hot coffee is nice, but not so hot that it burns your throat. But I don't think that it's going to take away that much of the antioxidants of honey. And, of course, honey, I believe from the honey book, as I mentioned all through it, that it's healthier than white sugar. I mean, white sugar, you know, it doesn't have any antioxidants at all. It's just sugar.
Right. Now, which book is it of yours that has the 50... home cures in it that combat digestive and skin problems?
All of them have the 50 home cures.
Oh, I see, right.
And they're, I guess you're kind of mentioning the beauty. There actually is a whole beauty chapter with coffee. I was sent, really, you can use your own ground coffee grounds for house cleaning and beauty, but it's also used in beauty products. And I was sent some just awesome products from a company, and of course I give the address in the beauty section. But coffee can be used as a coffee scrub, as a cellulite wrap. They use it in high-end spas, on your hair. Only if you're a brunette. I'm blonde. You don't want to do it if you're blonde. I repeat, don't do it if you're blonde. But if you're a brunette, coffee can definitely be a great conditioner. For your face, it's a coffee mask. For your feet, it acts as an exfoliant, and it can really smooth your body from head to toe. And I explain how that works all through the book. And it's a body polish. And I even, you know, if you don't want to buy the expensive things that I was treated to, there's a do-it-yourself recipe, a coffee body scrub, where you use two cups of coarsely ground coffee, 2 to 3 tablespoons massage oil, and 1/2 cup raw sugar or sea salt. You mix it all together, and then you rub it on your body in a hot shower, rinse it off, and it's a great exfoliant. You know, you rinse it off, pat your skin dry, and they even have coffee body lotions. I know it sounds strange, but definitely it's popular all around the world, especially in, like, Bali and Indonesia. They use these coffee beauty treatments. Also coffee, I think I mentioned the anti-inflammatory properties, but coffee also boasts antibacterial properties, which are really good for the skin. And it has an ability to hold in the moisture, which can keep your skin healthy and smoother.
Right.
Do you believe everything I'm telling you? I'm just wondering if I wish I could see your eyes. And we were, I'm just wondering if you're rolling your eyes. I go, yeah, right, right. But it's true because I have tested everything in this book. I really have all my research. I did it. I tasted all these coffees. Oh, there's this one, the civet coffee. Now, have you heard about that?
No.
The civet coffee. Okay, this was scary. This is a very pricey coffee. 16 ounces cost. No, I don't believe 16 ounces, you know, the coffee beans, not a cup. 16 ounces, $320. And I was actually given the civet coffee from Asia, from the Philippines. But the civet coffee, it comes from a cat-like animal. They're civets. It's an Asian palm cat, and it comes from the animal's droppings, their poop. And actually, it's very expensive because they have to hire farmers who clean and ship the unchewed, undigested droppings and fermented commodity to people like us and to the person that actually sent it to me that you know, sends it to everybody. But the thing about this coffee is that the texture is awesome. It's not acidic at all. So if you have a sensitive tummy, it's the perfect coffee. It's amazing. And it is it's extremely smooth, a really buttery tasting coffee. It's not acidic at all. And again, it's civet coffee, pure civet coffee, C-I-V-E-T. And it's believed to taste both nutty and spicy. I hesitated. I wrote that I'm still shocked that I brave brewing and sipping the rare coffee. You know, being a coffee and cat lover, how could I resist? But I did, and it was different. And the smoothness is just unforgettable. I mean, it's amazing, the texture of it. And it's like balsamic vinegar. It's like a very high-end balsamic vinegar. You know, not everybody can afford it, but if you can get your hands on it, it's like Hawaiian coffee. That's another extremely pricey coffee. I had to beg to get comped Hawaiian coffee. That is the only state in the United States that produces coffee because all the other coffees are grown below the equator. And, you know, people in the Hawaiian Islands, the tourists, they pay for it. So it was hard to get, I must tell you. But I did get my Hawaiian coffee.
Right. I mean, there's no point in me or our listeners going through what you have. We'll take your word for it.
But if you even Google it, you'll see it's really a specialty. It is. Mm.
Now, I'll just mention in passing that our local Starbucks at one time, they seem to have discontinued doing it, were giving away their coffee grounds in these big packs. And it's for use in the garden. It's like similar to a fertilizer. And when I planted my dahlias one year, I fed a lot of that in around where the tubers would grow. And my yellow flowers came out with brown tints in them.
I'm not sure if I understood what you did. You used the coffee grounds outside?
Yes.
Right. I talk about that, about how you can use it. And what did it do? I'm not sure if I understood.
Well, my dahlias were normally yellow, a yellow colour, the flowers.
Uh-huh.
But because they were drinking in or sucking in the coffee grounds, they also turn to a shade of brown.
And that's not what you wanted, correct?
Well, actually, it looked quite nice, I must admit. I didn't mind. It didn't colour the whole of the petals, but it coloured it in a way that obviously gave it a two-tone look. No, I thought it looked quite nice.
Right, I'm looking at the outdoors plant fertilizer. Plants like acidic soils will like your coffee grounds. Use grounds on the top layer of soil or mix them with potting soil before planting. I started dumping coffee grounds on the aspens, which I have in the front yard. it could have been the late summer rain and or the green grounds that helped the trees perk up. It could have been either. But definitely grounds not only feed your plants and trees, but they can feed your compost bin if you have one. Simply add it to a compost piles to increase nitrogen balance. Coffee filters and tea bags, yes, I have both, will also break down fast during composting. Also, it's an insect repellent. Tossing coffee grounds on the deck, a dirt sidewalk, may have a faster effect and not as toxic. If you don't have you don't want to have pets around. You don't want dogs or cats around coffee. It's extremely toxic, just like chocolate. But if you want to get rid of ants, this is believed to work.
Right. Now, you've taken an interest in honey and also the honeybees. So what is the latest position regarding their population figures? I gather the bees disappearing.
Okay,
it's still happening this year.
Right. I'm still in touch with the beekeepers for sure. And I was on Coast to Coast, I think, with George Norrie, after I spoke with you. Now, at that time, some paper came out saying that colony collapse disorder, you know, where the bees all die and go AWOL and just die, they vanish, that it was over, that they found the cure, they found the cause, it was pesticides only. And I begged I disagreed. And on air, I disagreed. I couldn't help it because in my gut, I knew that wasn't right. If it was only pesticides, we would have known this back in 2006. I do believe pesticides definitely play a role in it, but not the sole role. So the next morning after I was on air, I emailed a very high profile researcher at UC Davis in California, and I told him what I said on air, and he said I was right. He believed that it's not just pesticides, it's other things too. You know, viruses, transportation, when beekeepers will, you know, take their bees to pollinate crops, that could be very stressful for the honeybees. It's a whole combination of things. I also emailed the publisher Bee Culture Magazine, and I said, is it true? Is it over? Is it just pesticides? He says, no. He agreed with me. We still don't know the exact cause. However, yes, it has been a better year. It hasn't been as bad as, you know, other years where so many beekeepers lost their colonies. I've read about a lot of them being stolen, which is really sad. You know, that can be up like $150,000. Imagine you care about your livelihood, and then all of a sudden they're ripped off one night, and you see these stories, you know, more often than you want to. But no, there is not, we do not know the main reason. But pesticides definitely play a big role. I'm not saying they don't, but it's not the only one, according to all my sources.
That's okay. What was your favorite subject that you've written about? Because you've covered so many things.
You know what my favorite, there's two. The one, what I love in the honey book and the coffee book, I was trained in graduate school to be a fiction writer. So, you know, these topics can be very dry and boring. So what I did, I started off when I was a child, you know, my first experience with coffee was coffee ice cream when I was, after church, I'm Catholic, I think I was 7 years old, my first experience with coffee ice cream. And then I continue in each chapter in the introduction, I have a story about, you know, growing up with coffee and how it affected me, the coffee world, how different it was, you know, as I, you know, aged. And I just find that interesting. I'm sure people can relate to that because I write this in a first-person narrative. So it's kind of like you get a health book, but you also get a story. If you took each anecdote from each chapter 18 and put it all together, you would have a whole story, you know, and how I progressed into the coffee world. And I really have changed. I mean, from coffee ice cream to now that I grind my own beans and I'm a coffee snob. I've changed through the decades big time. And I kind of write with a tongue-in-cheek humor, so it's kind of humorous, a lot of these stories. And I also include other people's stories, which I find are fascinating, you know, these people from all around the world. And again, that's probably my favorite part. That is. I think it adds, it's kind of like putting my own signature on this book. There's a lot of coffee books out there. There's a handful of them that are saying, you know, that are talking about the health perks of coffee. But by doing that, it makes mine original, very original. It's mine. You know, nobody has those stories that I shared. And also, I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area, the beatnik era, back in the 50s, where coffee was a big thing. Drinking black coffee, smoking cigarettes, you know, wearing the black garb, all of that, you know, citing poetry and coffee shops, coffee houses. And I talk about that because, you know, I grew up in that era, and I thought it was fascinating. I think it's fascinating.
Well, you certainly tried everything by the sound of it.
Now, that's true. I did go to Coffee World.
we'll stick to coffee, I think, and forget the dangerous drugs and the likes. Now, when we opened up, you mentioned that you, I believe, you've got two more articles or books coming out, one about soulmates and one about animals. What is it you're writing about animals?
The animal, it's called Animal Attraction, A Collection of Tales and Tales. I chose my favorite articles that I've written in major pet magazines in the past 25 years. I actually started out as a pet writer. These are fascinating. I include John Steinbeck. He was a dog man from a kid. I include a story about him. I include Doris Day and Betty White. They're both animal activists. I include Zane Grey, the Western writer. Just you name it. I include how animals help us, how they can sense oncoming earthquakes, oncoming firestorms, weather, how pets have healing benefits themselves for humans. The incredible bond that we have with our cats and dogs. And again, I chose my favorite stories, and there's lots of, it's nonfiction, but there's a lot of creative nonfiction as well. I'm very proud of it. It should be out within the next month. And if you go to my website, it'll keep you posted, and then it should be on the online bookstores for sure. Easy to get.
Right. Having mentioned your website, it might be an ideal time to give the address out so that our listeners can note that if they wish.
Sure. It's www.cal, like California, CalOrey.com. And you can find most of the books that I've written about through Amazon UK. You have a UK Amazon, correct?
I've seen that.
Yeah, so you can find me there.
Right, yes. Okay. I was also quite surprised when you said you'd also written a book about soulmates.
I used to be the contributing editor of Complete Woman magazine. They've folded now, but they were around forever, 30, 40 years. And I wrote so many articles, and a publisher found me, and I just had a brainstorm. I went into my library of all the magazine articles that I have, and I was surprised. I have hundreds of articles on relationships. So I put them all together. I am going to input that next month. It should be fairly easy because I've already, you know, it's the table of contents, it's already structured how I'm doing it. And they all have a soulmate slant. So I'm happy that that's going to come together. And that should be out probably right around Christmas time or a little bit before, The Secrets of Soulmates. And what's interesting, I think I might have mentioned, yeah, I think I have. I've predicted earthquakes on talking to you before and other things. I am an intuitive, and I do work for two psychic networks, international networks. And I have to say 75 to 80% of the calls are relationship-oriented. And I've been doing that for 2 years, and it comes to me so easy. It's easier than predicting earthquakes or earth changes, to be honest with you. And so it just kind of makes sense.
Well, it's interesting you're talking about predictions, because I believe, like a lot of people do, that at the end of this year we're actually due to receive a massive input of energy that's going to lift this civilization up. Now, have you any views about that?
Right. I did my forecast on that in the beginning of the year. No, December 21st, we're not all going to vanish. Unfortunately, we're still going to have to pay bills and deal with health care and all the other problems, soaring cost. But I do believe there are going to be, we still have a half a year left, there are going to be some really cataclysmic events that are not going to be fun. We're talking about probably a major quake in California or on the West Coast. My forecast for the president is Obama. I do believe he will. I don't believe Mitt Romney's going to be elected. I believe I was right last time with Obama. I believe he will be reelected. What other forecast did I have? We still will be here, 2013, 100%, Kelly says. My accuracy rate's about 80%, so count on paying your taxes and being here. So don't spend all your money thinking that we're going out on the 21st. But there will be some earth changes, and not just limited to an earthquake on the West Coast. There's going to be some events that won't be fun. But we'll survive, you know.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, clearly not everyone that feels intuitive about these things comes up with exactly the same, shall we say, forecast. But certainly I think the main theme of what people are saying is that there definitely will be some very big changes.
Right.
And I'm sure people would agree on that.
Right, but there's always been changes. I mean, just go back. I'm definitely a believer in history repeats itself one way or another. I mean, you know, okay, last year we had the 9.1 in Japan. Well, when I was a little girl, we had the 9.0 in Alaska with the tsunami, the killer tsunami. Of course, they were different. I mean, the Japan was just catastrophic. But, you know, go back to the Indian Ocean quake in 2004. Go back to Katrina in 2005. You know, Mother Nature does what she does. We're in a severe drought. I do predict living in a resort town, Lake Tahoe, not fun, because prices really just go off the charts. You know, when we have a drought, then the crops go up, the prices go up, and it costs more to get here. So, and we all know that Europe is in a second recession, not fun. You know, it affects the whole world. I do believe there's going to be extreme economic pressures, which, you know, people are worried. I get a lot of those calls from Australia, Canada, New Zealand, you know, on the psychic lines. People are really stressing about money. Those are the calls that hurt me the most. You know, the ones about, is Johnny going to call me next week? Is it over? I care. I do. I have compassion. I get it. But it's unrequited love, and I wish I could just tell these people, move on. You know, you deserve better, but, you know, you have to empathize and try and understand, and especially if a couple's been together for a long time, if they're married, if they have children, it gets more complicated. But the money calls really kill me, you know, where the people call me and, you know, am I going to lose my house? Am I going to be evicted? My boyfriend and I are fighting over money. The money situation is not good around the globe. For some people, the wealthy, no worries, they're fine. But the middle class, and I probably mentioned that too when we just did my predictions, the middle class is really, we're working harder. We're working harder and paying more. It's really a challenge.
Well, that's a very good roundup, and it brings us really to the end
drink
of the program.
Drink some coffee to deal. You have to drink your coffee to stay happy and healthy. That's how we'll round it up, Michael.
I can imagine all my listeners will be immediately going to put the percolator on and brew themselves a very nice coffee after what you said. Anyway, thank you very much for coming onto the program.
It's been a pleasure. Take care.
Yes, it's been very interesting. Thank you very, very much, Carol. It's very enjoyable.
Okay, thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Right, friends, who would have thought you could have had virtually a whole program about coffee? But they are, it's very interesting. Well, I've got two guests next week. They work together. It's Ted Denmark and Julie Lower. And Julie is a trance channel with what she describes as a shifting group of inner space, outer space denizens. And they come through her and are unified by what she calls a star table, which at the moment I don't actually know what that means. But what they hold is telepresence conferences. Anyway, that sounds like another interesting program to come. So thank you for being with me today, and I hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you.